This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I think it bears repeating. We mentioned it yesterday. It is now at the very top of the Kansas City Star today. The you owe money for an unpaid toll text is a scam. Do not click on the link. Tell your family members. Tell your commuting college kids. Because even my kids who are leery of everything because of the news world they grew up in, I got a text from one of them a couple days ago that said, hey, I don't think I have a toll, but do we need to pay this? She asked.
Huh.
And I just reminded them, do not click on that link. The scammers want you to click on the link and then go here and put your credit card information in, and then you wake up and you don't have any money.
You know what I just got?
Did it come in
15 minutes ago?
Yep.
A scam text.
It is nationwide. Wow. The toll one is nationwide.
Make sure to click that link, Dan. I don't want you to miss out on paying that.
Better pay that toll, Dan.
Wants me to reply why and then exit the text message and open it again to activate the link or copy the link to your Safari browser and open it. And then at the very end, the Toll Roads team wishes you a great day.
No.
Yeah. And it comes from the Toll Roads Notice of Toll Evasion.
Totally legit.
Toll evader person.
Can we go back to the days of getting emails where we got like 9 greetings in a row?
And I got it from VO2BL0BP6SZ9ZU4 at Hotmail.
Right. Well, one of the problems is when you go to that link, it kind of looks like a legitimate site if you're not really paying attention. It is always a scam. Missouri and Kansas highway people, Department of Transportation people, they will not text you.
No.
They're interviewed in this article. Like, it is always, it's one of those things, take this to the bank, that is always a scam.
Here's how you get billed. And I know because I got one the other day from whatever it is, Kansas Toll or KS Toll or whatever.
CanDrive.gov.
Whatever it is.
Drive Can.
Maya, every time she goes, she has a boyfriend who lives in Lawrence, and sometimes she'll take the toll to get to Lawrence. And because the license plate on her car is registered to my house, I get the bill, and I'm happy to pay it. It's like $2.85 or something, nothing extravagant. And I just got one the other day. They bill you through the mail based on what house your car is registered to. That's how they do it. Unless you have KTAG, and then you have an account with your credit card. I assume I don't have KTAG. Your credit card is tied to that account.
You've got an app. Deducts. You've got an online account.
Yeah. All you
like
need
a
to
bank
know.
Account,
they're not going to text
is
you.
The text is a scam. Don't
That's
click
right.
on the link. That is all.
That's it.
That is it. End of story.
Yep.
Dan Aykroyd has broken his silence about not appearing at SNL 50. Aykroyd, one of the original stars of Saturday Night Live, was not in attendance for the special last Sunday, leading fans to wonder just where was he? In a February 19th post on Twitter, the comedian paid homage to the primetime event and the concert. He wrote, and I quote, "All heads up, toasting triumphant SNL 50th. Advantage of not attending. Got to see every second of concert and show on TV. Quote from my children, look at daddy's smile. Had it from start to finish. Congratulations, Lorne. Well done, as usual.
Good.
He did not provide a specific reason why he was not there.
Maybe he just didn't want to go.
How old is he?
He is, doesn't say in the story, Dan. But, I mean, I'm assuming he's in his 70s, at least. He still looks good, you know, but he's definitely in his 70s. Michael Jordan's abandoned former mansion was finally sold for a much-reduced sum of $10 million in December. Now the unique property, which includes a full-size basketball court that the legend trained on, is available for rent.
For rent. I saw this.
Yep. First, you have to pay $230,000 up front, plus a $50,000 refundable deposit.
Refundable?
The deposit is. Mm. The $230,000 up front, I don't know what that's about. His original asking price was $29 million, which was set 12 years ago. He finally sold it for $10 million.
I feel you, buddy.
apparently, nice. There's some sort of hockey game tonight that America cares about.
The Four Nations final. Woo!
Between the USA and Canada.
Now, what we're really looking for is what's going to happen when that first puck drops.
There was a bunch of fights the other night, right?
Well, so their first matchup was in Canada. And, you know, whenever a Canadian team plays an American team, they play both national anthems.
Sure.
Well, the Canadian fans decided to boo while the American national anthem was playing.
Oh, no. Come on. Be better than that.
And the official comes out, or referee, or whatever you call them in hockey, and drops the puck. That's how you start the hockey match.
Thank you, Sam.
And the second the puck hit the ice, three different players on the U.S. team dropped their sticks, threw their gloves off, and started swinging.
Head up, baby.
Three fights in 9 seconds.
Wow.
Are they American players, or are they...
No, you have to be an American to play for Team USA.
Yeah. Is that how this
Canadian
works?
Yeah, okay. It's like they're Olympic teams, okay. Basically.
It's basically, the hockey equivalent of some other international soccer organization.
No offense to hockey fans in Kansas City, but thank God I still have an episode and a half to go on Surviving Blackhawk Down.
Wow.
I'm going to start it tonight.
Who are the other two teams that got knocked out? Finland and Sweden or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
It's the one thing I've never been able to get into.
I can't either. I can't follow the puck.
See, and we were talking about this before the show, and I don't know. I don't understand why you can't like hockey, Scott, because it is essentially soccer on ice.
Yeah.
I can see where you're going with that, but these guys are wimps.
No, you can't see where they're going with it. That's why you don't watch it.
They have to wear pads.
Wow.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is, and you're right, Dane, I can't see the dang puck. I can't tell when they score unless the players raise their hands up and, yeah!
And then you got to wait for the slow-mo replay.
I can never tell when the other team scores because I can't see the puck. Remember years ago when Fox did
Tracer?
The trailer.
That didn't go well.
Little light trailer.
It works in golf. It does not work in hockey.
It does work in golf. By the way, is this indoor golf thing going anywhere? I watched a couple of highlights on ESPN the other day.
It's a indoor great idea.
Golf? Yeah,
it's,
arena golf.
Tiger Woods has this concept down in Florida where they all live anyway.
It's a massive simulator.
Where they all go and play, and you pay to sit in the stands and watch.
Actually, they could just take some old defunct malls and turn those into
indoor could.
Golf.
You could. To me, I'd rather play. If I'm going to go and do an arena something like with buddies or what, you'd rather go and play. I don't know that there's a big market when you're not at Augusta to go follow around the players. I don't know that there's a market to watch them inside play.
How many holes are they able to get inside of an arena?
It's one.
That's what I thought.
And
I
then
saw.
The simulator makes different holes and different scenarios. And then the green, this is kind of cool, has all this hydraulic system underneath it.
Okay.
And every single hole, they move up or down the hydraulics, the barrels underneath the green, and it undulates in a different way. So the 18 different greens on 18 different holes are always different. But you're still standing there in an arena fake playing. But
are you hitting a ball?
Yes.
Or is it virtual?
Yeah.
No, it's a real ball.
But the holes are virtual until you get 40 yards in, Sam, or 30 yards in or something.
What does the green do exactly?
It undulates, Sam.
Is that a real word?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'll take a pronunciation question from anyone.
I just wanted to make sure that you were using the word correctly.
Yeah, mayhem.
To move or go with a smooth up and down motion. I could see how undulate would work there.
It does. It undulates.
So do you think it's going to be a success or in a couple years will it be defunct?
I think it will be defunct after maybe 18 months of funkness.
Is it kind of like the Top Golf?
Yeah, a little.
No.
But in an arena and you're paying to watch them down there do what they're doing. Whereas if you go to a golf tournament, you can just walk along and watch them do that in the sun.
I would rather see the professionals play the games at Top Golf than this arena golf thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is not.
We'll see.
Like I said, one of the shots the other night on the top 10 on SportsCenter was an arena golf play or whatever, hit, whatever you call it. And I'm just sitting there, I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm like, that looks terrible.
So this is not open to the public to play? This is
no.
It's pros.
And Dan, when we first saw it, I thought, well, do we get to play? Like, can you go and play?
Like Top Golf.
No.
You do it.
You're in the stands. Think of like hockey. You're in the stands watching, but you're watching them play. Yeah.
Kind of like paying to watch somebody else play a video game.
Sort of. Yes.
Yeah. It's not good. Sam Stevie, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. This is an interesting story here from the New York Post. If you are offered a beverage during a job interview, what are you going to do? Employees have revealed the secret hiring tests that managers use to determine whether a candidate is fit for the job. And they include such methods as a so-called water test.
What are you going to do?
That's
got it.
It's the New York Post.
Got
what
it.
Did you expect? In a resurfaced Reddit thread, a user asked hiring managers to reveal the special tests they put interviewees through without their knowing. One respondent said their hiring manager uses the water test, to which they put a jug of water with a cup out to see if anyone would drink it while being interviewed. Quoting here, I was the only person who drank the water at a normal pace during the interview, and this is seen as being confident in the workplace environment by accepting a gift or an offer. Apparently, you can tell a lot about a person from the way they refused the offer of the water or by drinking it too quickly.
Okay, wait. I understand the drinking it too quickly because one interviewer said, I can sip water during an interview at a normal rate, but if you're nervous and you are jittery, that those candidates like are gulping it at a bizarre rate in front of me, and then that somehow signals you can't handle pressure?
Okay, if you just grab the whole pitcher and start chugging,
that's
a point of concern. But I would want somebody to be a bit nervous in a job interview. That means they're excited to be there. If they're completely calm, they don't care.
I don't know that I buy this water test. Is it? To me, it's more if you say, can I grab you water, Diet Coke? Do you want anything?
Sure. Love a cup.
Yeah, sure. I'll take whatever you're having. You know, I guess. What does that say about you?
Well, so I like, and I've heard this one many times, where if you go out, and maybe it's not an interview, but just, you know, you're prospecting for a job, and we're going to go out and have some lunch and talk about the opportunities or whatever. And that hiring manager will watch you order your food. And if you take 30 minutes to pick out something on the menu, or you're picky, or you're...
Right.
Well,
I would like a salad without the eggs, and I would like the dressing on the side,
I
would like my arugula flash fried.
Can I get a hamburger? Salad, and don't put any pickles anywhere on the plate.
But it's grilled. Yeah, I mean, if you are a horrible decision maker, that should weigh into the hiring process. I would agree, but some water? I'm thirsty.
I'm with you, Sam. I would want somebody to be a little bit nervous at a job interview. I mean, it means they care about it. They want it. Or they're not confident in their own abilities.
I mean, if it's
one of the two
are a reason to skip a candidate for a job, I'm never getting a job ever in my life.
I had a job interview one time in Dallas that lasted 8 hours.
That's ridiculous.
8 hours.
Did you drink the water?
And I ate the dinner.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't take the job, obviously. 8 hours. Started at, I believe, bless you.
Why?
It was at a radio station in Dallas. This was
going to work for the FBI. I guess I would understand.
Before I started doing the talk show, I was still the news director here, and it was at a big radio station down in Dallas. They were looking for a news director. They flew me in. I stayed at my aunt and uncle's house. They lived there, and it started at 11 o'clock in the morning and ended at 7 o'clock at night. Now, granted, part of the interview, I'm including the dinner as part of the interview because I'm sitting there with my two prospective bosses.
I would hate to eat and sit down and do that in front of like a boss. Like, what if there's something in your teeth? What if I don't like the thought.
What if you drop something in your lap?
Yes. Yeah. Spill the water.
Now, I could see an element of being considerate to others. You know, say you sit down and there's a pitcher of water. You're at a fancy eating establishment. I could see it weighing in. Do you offer to pour them a glass of water before you pour yourself one? But, I mean, it would have to be an extreme for the pace of drinking water for it to be a red flag.
And tell me this. Where did you get your psychology degree?
Right.
That you're using these bizarre techniques to determine if someone is psychologically fit for your job, as in, do they drink water normally? Well, do you? Or are they gulping it? Drinking too quickly? Define too quickly. Somebody on the text line writes, I am a CEO. And by the way, I'd love to hear from hiring managers.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any secret tests that you do when you're interviewing a prospective hire? 913-586-7798. What are you looking for?
What do you got on your playlist?
What are you looking for?
What are you looking for?
Get out. Out.
Well, I wouldn't say Kanye West right now. Or P. Diddy. I would kind of skip over those playlists.
Big R. Kelly fan.
Yeah, not an R. Kelly fan anymore. I'm a CEO of a company. I've hired a lot of people. That story is crazy. We offer people something to drink as a matter of a courtesy,
yeah,
just like you would in any other social situation. Even though this is an interview and not traditionally social, it is still good to have good manners.
I always think it's funny just to make it awkward. Like, can I get you any water? No, but I'd like some Mike and Ike's.
You would say that as a prospective employee?
I just think it's funny to make things awkward.
Okay. 913.
Can I get a Kleenex? I'm really snotty today.
I can feel that there's a booger in my nose, and I need it removed right now.
Do you have a mask? I might have the H1N1.
913-586-7798. We'll start at the top with Brian in Leawood. Hello, Brian.
Scott, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, my friend.
I was just listening to your little 8-hour pressure cooker. I had to interview for a wine job in Kansas for a distributor by going down to the plaza to a really expensive, fancy restaurant you might know, probably Dana knows. And I had to sit with the president and the vice president, and they handed me the wine list.
Oh.
And they handed me the food menu and said,
Parrot,
would you like to order for us?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That was a pressure cooker, my friend.
Did you get the job?
I'll take a red one and a steak.
I did get the job. And actually, years ago, I sent you two wines when Dana was drinking poorly Pinot Grigio. And you were drinking Guinness, but
Brian, yes. I have graduated to port. I don't even know who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you upgraded, Dana.
I love it.
Now, the next thing you need to do is drink your birth year in port.
Oh, okay. It's a lot of years, that's but I'll thing. Look for it.
That'll be cheap.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Brian, thank you.
Be good, Brian. Let's go to Tony in Lenexa as well. Hello, Tony.
Hello, I'm a recruiter, and I will tell you that I am ready to write a book on the things I've experienced with people in the interview process.
Please.
I hire for about 8 different locations, and you know, one of the things that we always say is don't tell me what you're going to do, tell me what you are, and you do that by showing up, you know, little things like showing up on time, doing a little research on the company. So we don't have a magic 8-ball that we shake like some of the other stories I've heard, but we do look for, you know, the characteristics that we look for in our employees. You know, are you going to show up when you say you show up? Are you going to do what you intend to do? And really, those are the biggest factors for us when we're looking at hiring someone.
Yep.
All right. Tony, thank you for the call, man. Do appreciate it. 913-586-7798. What are the tricks of the trade when it comes to hiring someone?
And wait, if you are looking for a job, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked?
Yep. This story from the New York Post references a water test. Offer them a glass of water. Do they drink it normally at a normal pace? Do they drink it too quickly? Gulp it? Do they not drink it at all? And what does that tell us? I don't know how these CEOs became psychologists overnight.
Are you drooling? Is it dribbling out the corners of your mouth?
I would look for, here's what I would look for when I was in the hiring business. Do you have a good handshake? That tells me about confidence.
100%.
That tells me about confidence.
Have you ever had the floppy, and I'm sorry, ladies, I'm talking to you.
The wet fish.
The wet fish floppy. I have met women who dangle the hand, like I'm supposed to kiss your ring. Like, what mm-hmm. is that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
But you don't want an overly aggressive handshake.
No, you never shake. You get a feel for how hard they're gripping, and you grip at the same amount.
That's right.
And when I shake your hand and when we're doing the interview, are you looking me in the eye?
That's a big one this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do that anymore.
Or are you looking down at the table? Are you looking to the side?
What if I'm picking a chin hair?
That, you are never going to get the job.
Is the chin hair there?
Like
or
the
not?
Hair, it is elusive.
That's correct. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those of you who hire, what is it that you're looking for in that interview? Firm handshake? Look me in the eye? Be dressed appropriately?
Oh, that's a big one.
No curse words?
For sure. I would even argue, put G's on the end of words that end in G.
If they curse, I'm cursing.
I kind of agree with you there, Sam.
From the text line, I like this one.
That could be a test.
Oh, they could be dropping a curse word to see if you reciprocate.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one from the text line, and we should implement it here in this office because we've got a problem with this. We do the coffee mug test. Ooh. Offer them a cup of coffee. What they do with that mug at the end of the interview is telling.
Oh, Dana would be gone. Before I was hired.
Dana would be gone. Leanne in Kansas City. Leanne, hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good, I love your show. I listen every night on my way home from work.
It's yours and thank you.
So I own a promotional marketing company, and I have for 24 years. So I've hired and fired many people. And someone told me one time, I was really frustrated when I was trying to hire sales executives. And someone told me, dive deeper into their resume. So I had a guy in my office, and he looked pretty good. He was pretty professional looking. And so I started kind of deconstructing his resume, asking him, you know, different questions about it. Tell me a little bit about this and this. And he had on there that he was a marketing expert. And I said, oh, wow.
An expert?
You're a marketing expert. That's fantastic. Tell me more about that. Well, you know, I can do marketing and, you know, I've printed stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me a little bit more. What makes you an expert? So I kind of pushed him on it.
Yeah.
And eventually he totally caved and he goes, well, I didn't even do my resume. I don't even really know what that means.
Oh, here we go.
Leanne, tell me something. I've never asked anybody this question. I don't even know if I've told Dana and Sam this before. But when Sarah was getting ready, my oldest daughter was getting ready to graduate college, I bought her 2 shares of the Manchester United football team in England. And okay. I told her, you now have 2 shares of the Manchester United club. And I said, on your resume,
owner,
put down that you're a part owner of Manchester United. And I said, it would be a great icebreaker with whoever's doing the hiring. She did not take my advice.
Oh, I think that's hilarious.
I would have loved it because I would have been like, hey, this is interesting. Tell me a little more about that. And then she would have told me the whole story and it would have been great. Yeah.
Yeah, I own 2 shares. I grew up loving soccer, and my dad was my coach, and blah, blah, blah. I thought it would be great.
It's good for our younger people listening. If you're going to put it on your resume, be able to back it up, or at least be able to explain. And I've told this story before. I put on a resume for a leadership position or something. I was still in college. I put, I was chosen as a KU emerging leader, and that is true. I was chosen as an emerging leader, and you were supposed to go through some program. And then after a couple of years, you are either chosen or not chosen as an established leader. I put on the resume the truth that I was chosen as an emerging leader.
You never went through the training.
I don't know beyond that I was chosen for that. I put it on there. A woman said to me, there's 5 or 6 of them in the interview process. Oh my gosh, I saw you were chosen as a KU emerging leader. Tell us more about that. And you could see it in my eyes.
You froze.
I went, well, I am in an emerging role.
I'm a leader who's emerging at the moment.
I haven't arrived as a leader. I'm more emerging. It's a process from which one emerges.
Do you think this is somebody who
demerging?
Yeah. Do you think this is somebody who had been an emerging leader and maybe?
No, I was like, they sent me a letter that said, "Congrats, you're an emerging leader." That's really the extent of it.
But you keyed on another one there, and it's the importance of being able to answer the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think on your feet, and even if you don't have an answer to that specific question, because sometimes they are job specific.
I hope one day to be established, but right now still emerging.
And maybe, you know, okay, well, I can't speak directly to what you're asking me, but at least come up with something.
But I can tell you ... that one day I hope to be establishing as a leader.
Did you get the gig?
Yeah.
You just BS'd your way right through that thing, didn't you?
Yeah.
As Leanne, they say, kids, the rest was history.
Leanne, thank you for the call. Leroy in North Kansas City. Hi.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
All right. So real quick, I was for about almost a 10-year span, I was a general manager for 2 or 3 restaurants. And obviously we do all the hiring. And so one of the small things, and I'll get into the big one. One of the small things that I would do and watch if people did is tuck their chair back in after they get up and done with the interview. If they tuck their chair back in, you know, they have a little bit of standards, a little bit of respect, and it's a little good sign. Nothing crazy, but a little bit. The big thing that I would like to do, though, and I wasn't the only one, but a lot of restaurants you'd be interviewing, you know, they'll offer you food at the end. Hey, do you want to, like, quick bite? You know, you've been here for an hour or something, you know. And it's not really based on do they accept the food per se. But I would say in a way where, hey, you know, great interview. I'm not really supposed to give out food, but, you know, I kind of like you. So would you like a free burger or something? And again, it's not based on if they actually take it. It was more based on how they reacted to me saying that we're not really supposed to give it out. Because if they look shocked and surprised and are kind of like put back a little bit, I know that they're not going to be stealing food. My shrink will be a lot smaller or stay on par. But if they're just super giddy about it and they're like, oh, yeah, or it doesn't faze them at all, they don't care, then I can probably assume that they're probably going to be jacking food off the table.
Yeah.
Huh. I hadn't even thought about that. Leroy, thank you for the call, man. Janae, and then we'll wrap it up with Lisa here in just a moment. Hi, Janae.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I worked in public relations in Las Vegas for over a decade, and I was interviewing to be on the food and beverage team of one of the large resort groups. If you've been to Vegas, you've been to their casinos. And my final of three interviews was meeting with the team at one of the more fancy, expensive restaurants on the Strip for lunch. They ordered everything, or they did all the ordering.
Okay.
Hardly spoke to me. They just wanted to see what I would eat. And if I would eat the random off the wall, it was an Asian restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And it was the one like the Baccarat big wigs would eat at. So there's stuff on there you don't get at a Chinese restaurant in Kansas. And they were trying to see if I was willing to eat the food, because you cannot promote to TV, to news, to magazines, the food at a restaurant if you've never tasted it. You cannot successfully explain to a PR person why Good Morning America needs to talk about this amazing dish
right
during Chinese New Year if you've never actually tasted it. So I sat there with my little Midwestern palate, because I was born and raised in Kansas, looking at this fish with the eyes looking back at me. All this random food. To this day, I can't even tell you what I ate, but I ate everything. I did get the job, and over the course of those 2 years, I ate some amazing food, and I told Sam, I've eaten some weird stuff now during that time.
Wow.
But what was really wild is I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I got pregnant with her while I was working there. Her palate is crazy compared to my older son, who did not. I was eating nothing but super rich, fancy French, you know, cuisine when I was pregnant with her. So her palate, she orders crazy wild stuff off the menu. Well, my son doesn't, which we just think is kind of interesting. But yeah, so I got the job, but I tell you, I ate some weird stuff in that interview. They didn't talk to me hardly at all. They didn't ask me questions. They were just waiting to see if I'd eat.
All right,
almost like the older sibling when you were growing up. Eat this. Eat this. Like, they would dare you to eat stuff. You remember my cousins? I know. My cousins would always be like, let's see if she'll eat this. Like, we would go to pizza. Like, let's see if she'll swallow an entire spoonful of the pepper flakes.
Didn't you do that? Like, we'll get Lisa here in just a second. Like, at the school lunch table. Pay people. You'd, like, mix up this horrible concoction of ice cream and green beans and pay somebody, like, a quarter to eat it. Lisa in Liberty. Hello.
Hey. I wanted to call and say I love you both. And Scott,
yes,
when you said that you should have to look somebody in the eye with a firm handshake, I feel like that is a little bit old school. And I am old, so I'm not trying to be offensive. But my daughter has autism, and she will definitely glance. You would never know she had autism. And she would glance at your eyes, but she's not going to look you in the eye and give you a firm handshake. But she's a National Merit Scholar.
Oh, interesting.
She's smarter than all of us put together, and she might glance at your eyes, but she's not going to give you the eye contact you want.
Now, Lisa, I do the same thing. I cannot look people in the eyes. I can't.
Right.
He prefers you not look him in the eye.
It just makes them uncomfortable.
Have
but
you
the anxiety they had on hold waiting to talk to you guys? I needed a Xanax.
Wow. Have you
take it.
Offered her the tip of looking at the forehead between the eyes? Not too high up on the forehead, but at the forehead between the eyes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because that's what I do. Yeah, I cannot look into the eyeball.
I've never heard that about you, Sam.
I can't. It drives me nuts.
Well, we're just going to go around staring at you now.
Oh, you have no idea.
You just opened up a portal of just bad feelings for you, Sam.
I don't know why you do this to yourself every single day.
I go, hey, Sam.
Dan is staring at me through the window right now.
We all are. Look me in the eye.
I'm looking at your eyebrow. You can't tell the difference, can you?
But you know us. It's different if you don't know somebody. You know us.
I always look people between the eyebrows every time.
Are you serious?
Yep.
All right.
What color are my eyes?
I don't know. I'm looking at your eyebrow. Your eyebrow is brown.
Nerd. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So what is the bond for that mom who abandoned for years her three kids? The oldest was 15 or is 15 now, and the youngers are like 12 and 11 or something.
So there was a fourth child as well who went off to live with dad, I do believe. The mom left the kids in the home for multiple years, told the kids not to answer the door if anybody knocked and to never go outside. Charges have been filed against her, and she is held on a $250 million dollar bond.
Good.
What are they? How are they going to help those poor kids? Those are going to be feral children. I'm going to use the word feral.
I think it's adequate.
They are going to be completely unsocialized, and I end
15, 13, and 12.
So Sam, 15, 13, and 12.
Yeah.
We're not talking 3 and 5. At one point they were, but at 15, four, whatever, and 12. Could they, had they had the skills to leave, could they have left? And that tells me they are so far unsocialized and feral, they didn't even conceptualize they could leave that space.
So I believe she had abandoned them like 3 years ago or something like that. And she would either deliver the food once a week to the house or have it delivered.
A care package of sorts, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess she continued up until recently to pay the rent on the house.
Where were the neighbors?
It wasn't until, I think, October when the landlord had finally said, enough is enough. I'm not getting paid. And by the way, where was the landlord paying the occasional, you know, once a year visit to just check on the condition of the apartment?
They are not sure when she left them in the home and gave them these stipulations. They believe it's either 2020 or 2021. The check that you are referencing was not in October. It was less than 7 days ago.
Okay, maybe I read she hadn't paid the rent since October, and he finally went
That is correct.
Okay.
God.
That's what it was. The house was absolute squalor. Let's just say there was poop not in the toilet.
Everywhere.
Yeah, well, there was poop in the toilet.
The bathtub.
But they pooped everywhere else because there was nowhere else to poop.
Yeah.
When was the last time these kids have had a bath or a shower?
Well, or schooling or socialization.
Or brush their teeth. Their teeth must be rotten.
How does this happen where no one wonders where are those kids?
The 34-year-old mother sat in court with her head down, not speaking, only shaking her head as they read off the charges. Her lawyer entered a not guilty plea on her behalf.
Are now protective custody of some sort?
I would assume so. Police evidence technicians had to suit up in hazmat suits before entering the home.
God, but I'm looking at this. This is a duplex-ish. Look at the orange like placard in the window saying you can't live here. It's a biohazard. Did no one wonder what was going on?
Are called row houses.
You would have heard. Those are thin walls and densely packed.
Yeah.
Like a duplex.
And here's something else. And not that the neighbors are responsible. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just wondering how this went under the radar for so long. If you lived next door, wouldn't you smell something? I mean, you have people who are pooping in the bathtub and on the floor and peeing on the floor. Wouldn't there be an odor coming from that place? Or wouldn't you get the roaches from next door coming into your apartment?
As someone who lived in a roach-infested apartment building for way too long, you don't ask any questions.
Huh.
You'd rather not know.
Okay. All right, hey, don't forget tomorrow is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. We will be doing that promptly at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That is brought to you by Q39. The bonus hour is coming up next. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. The music's getting very loud. Be well.
Be good. And be good to everybody.
Be good to everyone that you meet. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.